Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 114 for October 23rd, 2018. Joining us on this week's podcast are Ryan, Wes, Dubber, and Shannon. I'm Sean, and the topics for this week are the men's basketball are in the top 20, preseason top 20. Volleyball had a thrilling win over West Virginia. Robinson out for the season with a shoulder injury. And the tragedy of Kevontae Turpin. And let's go ahead and let's start with some positive news, shall we? Basketball. Men's basketball in the top 20, preseason top 20. Guys, this is big news for Frog fans.
It's huge news. I mean, I don't think in my lifetime of watching TCU basketball, we've ever been ranked in the top 25 in preseason. So this is big. This is really big.
Now, is that based off a few good recruits we've gotten? And I don't have their names in front of me, but I've heard we're bringing in some top recruits, and it's got the buzz going.
Yeah, he's got some good ones. Of course, I think he's getting ready to sign another good class here in a couple of weeks when that fall signing season comes around. But, yeah, he's got – you know, as far as I remember, this is the first time we've had two 6'11 guys on the roster. So he's got some size. He's got that JUCO from Florida, I believe. Alot, I believe is his name. He's coming in. We've got a kid from New Zealand, Angus Williams, I believe is his name. He's 6'11. He's 6'10, I believe. I mean, we got some size on that team now.
Let me tell you, I went and watched practice a couple of times now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, they're athletic. Woo! They're very athletic. They're a lot more athletic than our team was last year. It's not even close.
Wow.
I mean, like you said, Wes, there's one guy, and I can't remember which one it is. It's not the guy from it's not the JUCO. It's I think it's one of the true freshmen. I mean, or maybe the redshirt freshman last year, but he is huge. He's a big man.
Oh, I know you're talking about that 6'10 kid from Houston, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, he is a big boy. I mean, he looks the part underneath. And then they have a little point guard from Houston that, oh, my goodness, I don't know how they're going to keep him. He's a true freshman. I watched him, and I was like, oh, my God, there ain't no way they're going to be able to keep
him. Well, that's a good problem to have.
It's fun. It's fun to look at and watch them. If he can get it all together, I guarantee he's got more raw talent than he's had we got more raw talent this year than I've probably ever seen it.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun squad to watch this season.
That's awesome.
It is.
I got my tickets. I'll be ready.
Me too. I got season tickets this year. Yay!
Yeah, and don't forget the women's team looks really strong this season as well. Yeah. I think we're all kind of surprised they didn't quite eke their way into a preseason top 25. But, yeah, basketball season's coming fast, and I know a lot of Frog fans, especially after last weekend's game, which we'll get into in just a little bit, are kind of licking their chops waiting for basketball.
And one more thing on basketball. This is going to be a lot – oh, wait a minute. Hang on. What's the date today?
Today is October 22nd, 2018. It's my daughter's birthday.
It's my wife's birthday.
She just turned 13.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, no.
And now I feel old.
It's my wife's birthday. She wishes she was still 13.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that they were having this basketball event down in Sundance, but now I think it was – did anybody else hear about that?
Wasn't that last week?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was last week.
How did that sneak up and like pass me by? I'm so sad. I was really looking forward to it.
You've been on like this cloud of euphoria after you got engaged. You've just been like,
I think maybe so. Did anybody go? Did we hear about it? I'm so bummed. I will tell you, I am going to the Jamie Dixon Women's Clinic Tuesday night. So that will be fun. We're going to learn a lot about basketball and meet some players and have a good time. So at least I won't miss that. Jeez, that would have been really cool. Well, for everybody else who missed it, they did this tip-off and down in Sundance Square. It was the girls against the boys. And I thought that was just a fantastic idea. It was a whole block party. But you know what? I wonder if the rain affected it. I never heard anything about it.
It may have.
May have. All right. Well, enough about that. Darn. Okay. Well, Jamie Dixon Women's Clinic Tuesday night. I'll report back on that next week. Should be fun.
So, I mean, if you're listening to this when the podcast comes out, you might be able to still find information on how to go to that, because this podcast will come out Tuesday morning. So by Tuesday night, you might still be able to make your way over to that. So check gofrogs.com for more information on that. Moving on from basketball, volleyball had a pretty thrilling comeback win against West Virginia. And I think they're now 12-7 on the season, 4-4 in the Big 12. And this team just does not know how to, you know, they don't quit. I mean, they keep going all the way. And that was a pretty thrilling victory.
I was there for that one, too.
Yeah. How was the crowd? It looked like it was pretty
great. You know, well, first of all, you know, they played the first game. You're thinking, boy, it's going to be a short night.
Yeah.
Second game, we got a little bit better. And, you know, I mean, we were pretty close. And then third game, we just barely won. And, I mean, then you saw the momentum shift. I thought the fans were great the whole night. I mean, I think it was like some middle school night, too. Boy, there was a bunch of kids. I mean, by the time we got there, we were up the corner, you know, way up the corner. And, but, I mean, it was great. I mean, and they didn't quit. I mean, they just – you could just – it's just fun as you watch momentum turn and just, you know, you could just see it with every game. You know, it just turned a little bit more, and then – last game going to 15, you know, it's funny because their coach contested a couple of calls and we got both of them.
Wow.
Nice.
I mean, their coach, he's about to go crazy. It's not, you know, it's right there on the video, you know, and so anyway, but then we just took off. I mean, it was fun to watch. You know, we don't have her, you know, the freshman. I mean, she's hurt.
Oh,
right now, I mean, she's out, so they're really, I mean, she's, you know, I'm not gonna say she's the best player, but she's up there in the top two or three players, and you know, they've been without her for three or four games now, so they kind of had to readjust and figure out what's going on, and it was really fun watching them come back and win that game the other night.
It gets to be a pretty electric atmosphere in there, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's so small, you know, I think that's genius on TCU's part to keep it there. You know, it's crowded, it's close, the fans are loud, you know, and then they have seats on both ends where you can sit, you know, behind the servers basically. And, you know, so you just feel like you're in a cracker box, you know, and I mean, you know, the fans are on top of you. So that's what's great about it.
That's great.
So what you're saying, Dubber, is they didn't do a +4 in the Rickle. Yeah, we won't go into a tennis talk this week.
Yeah, anyway.
Don't get me started on those whiners.
Yeah, it is. Well, Dubber, you mentioned momentum, and let's talk a little bit about the football game here. Oklahoma comes into Fort Worth and unfortunately rolls over the Frogs in the second half. But there was an interesting storyline that we were talking about at the end of the first half. Shannon Wes and I were talking about this on our halftime analysis. This game looked like it was going to get out of hand very quickly for the Frogs. Then Michael Collins comes in, Robinson comes out, momentum completely changes in this game. He provides a spark both offensively and defensively. 21 straight unanswered points, and 17 unanswered points. To end the first half, TCU 24, Oklahoma 28, mm-hmm. And this was really electric. I mean, the fans kind of felt it a little bit in the stadium. You kind of felt that momentum shift. Then we go in the halftime, and then everything falls apart. And Shannon, you mentioned something to me at the end of the game. What was it that you were talking about here, as far as that halftime, the point where halftime actually showed up and reared its ugly head?
Yeah. What killed us was halftime. I just, if that would have been an opportunity, just say beginning of the third quarter or something where we don't have to, time, you know, is in our favor and, you know, we can have two straight quarters. There's a chance, you know, obviously the way we were going, that we apply the pressure, we kind of break their momentum. And what happened was halftime, everybody got a chance to go back and regroup. And that's not what we needed for Oklahoma to do, because we weren't playing well from jump. So, and then they came out, and we know the rest is history from there. But at the time, it wasn't anybody else that killed us. It was halftime, because it was one time, you know, it was 24-28. going into halftime, and we just need a little bit more time to keep that thing going.
Yeah, I agree with you. That the halftime was a momentum killer, no doubt. Yeah. You know, by the side of the second half got there, you know, our defense already been out on the field a long time.
Yeah.
I just think we got gassed. I mean, I just think we got tired. I think it was fun watching Collins, and but you know, for the first time, well, I'll say this, and I'm not an Oklahoma fan, but their offensive line, it's the best offensive line I've seen. They got a good offensive line and defensive line, matter of fact.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of where we lost it in the trenches, in my mind. I mean, I know we got some injuries on the backside of the thing, but you know, they neutralized us pretty easily, I thought, this game. And I thought we'd already put our defense in the hole by them being out on the field as much as they were. Because even when we were scoring and being electric, it was one play, two plays. I mean, it wasn't drives. We were hitting big ones, you know.
Yeah.
So every time we hit a big one, the defense had to run back out there, and, you know, they were holding them, but still a couple first downs, a few more minutes, and, you know, you know how that goes. You know, you get out there, I mean, you know, you don't want to, but you get tired.
Yeah, it looked to me, especially going into the third quarter, both TCU and Oklahoma, they trade field goals out of their first possession out in the third quarter, out of the locker room. And the moment I knew things were going to start going downhill was on that third down play, or was it the first down play? I can't remember which one. I think it was first down. First down and 10, they pull a wild frog.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving the ball down the field. You take the ball out of Collins' hands, who has a hot hand at that point, and you do a direct snap to Shewo. The snap goes wide. He can't get on it. Now you've lost several yards. Now you're setting up a second and long. And that just stalled the drive at that point. We had to kick a field goal. Now, thankfully, Bunce was good on the field goal. But you could kind of tell that the air kind of collapsed a little bit when we weren't able to actually tie up the game. If we were able to tie the game in that drive, things may have gone slightly different. But then again, you know, then things go downhill, right? We find out that later on, the reason why Robinson didn't play the rest of the game wasn't necessarily because he got pulled because of mistakes in the first half, but because his shoulder injury was worse than we all knew, and now he's out because he needs surgery. And then on top of that, then Collins comes and messes up his throwing hand with a big old gash on it that kind of takes him out the rest of the game. So is this team snake bit? Is that what's going on here, guys?
Boy, it's beginning to look that way. I mean, you know, we don't know. I mean, Robinson's injury and his surgery, when they now say it, probably brings to light. Maybe that's why he's played so bad. Every, you know, you have a shoulder injury. Every step you take, every little bump, and that may be one reason he has not been very effective out there because of that shoulder. If it's been an ongoing thing and it happened before the season started, then maybe they should have gone ahead and dealt with it surgically then.
And it's the non-throwing arm, by the way. Just want to make that
clear. But still, you know, you're going to get hit. You as you move around, you know, you pump your arms or you get bumped. You're going to get bumped a lot. You probably have a jolt of pain going through like a lightning bolt. And you know, it's I'm realizing a little bit more now that thing may have been bothering him in ways that we never knew about before, you know, for quite a while. And that may be part of the reason he hasn't been as effective. That's just my guess. That's my two cents.
You mean they don't shoot guys up anymore?
you'd have to ask the coach on that one. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we had a couple of needles back in my day. But listen, man, it's just one of those situations where we got it. It is what it is at this point. We've all said it. That game was pivotal in the second half of our season. And right now, I'm not going to leave any game frustrated or pissed off anymore, because at this point, I think you got to start playing your young guys. I think you got to start building for next year. I get everybody wants to try to win and get to a bowl game. I get that. And I want that as well, because that stretches out the season. That gives you more time to prep and learn and gives you more. But at this point, guys, we cannot now have any more injuries that cost us guys to be out and have surgeries and that type of thing as well. So today's been a good old punch in the gut between injuries, surgeries, getting our ass handed to, you know, kicked, and then the obvious off the field stuff, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it's a dark day in Frog Land right now. And you know what? It won't be the last. We're frogs. We're gonna overcome this. I'm not panicking whatsoever. It's just one of those things where it's all time. We've gotta take the good with the bad. And I would say this to all Frog fans: we've gotta handle the bad with a little bit more dignity, respect, and we're gonna get through it. We just pull together, and as we say, don't pull apart. We will get through these dark days, and we'll be back on top in no time.
Well, I read on the forum today, somebody said, let's just wave the white flag. And I said, we don't wave white flags around here.
No.
We strap on our skates to fight them on the ice.
The thing about it is, it's not like any of them are quitting. I mean, they don't want to lose. I mean,
of course not.
As an athlete, I never wanted to lose. It happened. It wasn't like you want it to. And so I'm not down on them guys. I mean, I understand, at this point in time, I'm more worried about the injuries than I am anything. They're piling up, especially on defense.
Yeah.
Secondary, crap. We're losing them left and right back in the back.
We lost games. Lewis got dinged up in this game. Already Nico Small's out. I mean,
Omiabi early in the season, then before the season started, Tons of Onger added. That freshman who was a four-star recruit.
Yeah, we mentioned Blacklock several times. So
Blacklock, there's five key injuries right there.
Half your defense.
So was this 2013, I believe, somewhere in there that this happened to us before?
Yeah. This is such a parallel to 2013. It's not even funny.
I'm telling you. we were just trying to survive week to week just based off injury alone. I mean, we almost had to go get guys off the street that year, if you guys remember. And it seems like we're doing it again. We still got a lot more football left. We've got to get people back just to freaking go and play a decent football game. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is it's going to be – it'd be fun in the sense that now we get to see what Collins can do. We get to develop two quarterbacks now. Next year, you got two guys that's had a substantial amount of playing time. And that's one of the big things I was worried about this year just because, Sean didn't get to play a whole bunch last year. So now we're gonna have a couple of guys, and really and truly, we have when we lose a few guys every year you're gonna lose good players, but for the most part, our core on both sides of the field we come back with a lot. So if we just get through it healthy, let some young guys play, let some young guys develop, and I think Patterson probably does that better than anybody as far as keeping them up and keep them going. Yeah. And you know what? I think, I still think we got a chance to get in the bowl because I think we can win every game. West Virginia will be tough. But every other game, if we play good enough, we can win. If we don't play good enough, we can lose. I mean, it's one of them deals, week in and week out, just kind of what team shows up, how the young players play.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you, I think, on that assessment. I think we can get to six wins. Yeah. I think, it starts this week, Kansas State, Baylor.
Kansas State's one of the tough teams, but at least because you never know with them. Sometimes they play great, but at least we get them at home.
Kansas State and Oklahoma State being at home help us out.
Yes.
Obviously, their other three are on the road. So you got to find at least a win on the road. You got to protect the Carter. But the other thing, you guys mentioned injuries. There's one position where we're done if we get another injury, and that's quarterback. Because you're out Robinson. I think Ringdahl's also out. Rodgers obviously has been recuperating from his surgery. Other than Collins and Molstein, who do you bring in if one of those guys, if both those guys get down? I mean, we got Ty Summers, I guess, at quarterback.
Ben Banigou played quarterback like his freshman year.
Did who?
Ben Banigou. Banigou. I didn't realize that. He revealed that one day.
Yeah, Iron Man. He can go both ways.
Yeah.
We already saw him run back a touchdown,
Well, that's true. He's got some speed.
Well, what you hope is that's what we're talking about. We hope we get through these games healthy.
Well, good thing it was a blister and nothing else, and I'm sure we can find a patch in to go over that hand between now and the next game. So,
they'll have him ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have him ready.
Well, it was that.
Sorry,
go ahead, Wes.
Where did John Stevens come from all of a sudden? How come?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I like the fact that we have a 6'5", 6'6 receiver out there to go match up against these smaller defensive backs. How come he hadn't been playing more?
Because I think they probably wanted to redshirt him, didn't they? What's he, a freshman?
Mm, it could be.
I think they thought we were deep enough that they wanted to redshirt him and play, you know, maybe play him in four games, but pick the four games he's playing in. But, you know, our once again, our receivers haven't been quite as reliable as you'd like for them to be all the time. This first game he's played in?
I believe so.
Yeah, and he is a freshman, by the way.
And he might be trying to just give him four games. And that's what I do at this point in time. I give him four games, not redshirt him.
I mean,
just saying, that's what I would do personally if I'm Patterson.
Well, guys, I mean, you know, like I said, we spoke on it before. You know, you fight to the end, but Coach Patterson and the staff, they're going to now think about the rest of the year, but also next year. I mean, this is what you do. And whereas you're not giving up on the year and all that kind of stuff, but, man, that, it's a strategy. I mean, it's chess at its finest. I mean, what do you do? Who do you play? What shirts do you burn? What shirt don't you burn? Because at the end of the day, guys, we don't want to fall into a slump of terrible seasons in a row. I'll eat one and come back stronger next year versus doing something dramatic. And now we're looking at this type of season next year. So we do not want that. And again, we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen down south. So we just don't want that. And again, you know, this kind of stuff affects recruiting. We're gonna get into this crap about tonight. There's going to be stuff about coaches losing the locker room, losing the team. There's going to be all this drama, and parents hear it, recruits hear it. And so it gets pretty ugly. And that's why I say we got to watch what we say, watch what we do, and go with what's real versus fake, because once word gets out and we have anything to do with it, man, that can affect recruiting, and we don't want that. And we're already starting to see people leave the damn locker room and head elsewhere. We don't want that kind of crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that particular case, from what I understand, and with recruiting, and I talked to Hunter about this, who's more in tune with that than most of us. But some of the people who have decommitted, so to speak, to TCU, a couple of the stories in there. I'm not going to say anything personal because I haven't actually gone in and confirmed any of this. But let's just say Frog fans. The ones that have decommitted, yes, one is a particularly troublesome loss, but the rest of them were okay. As long as we keep the offensive line out of this particular group of recruits, I think we're good. But you know, some of the receivers we've lost, we are stacked at receiver. We can lose one here and there, and that's fine. But you know, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button just yet on the recruiting.
No. And you got to remember, until their name is on the dotted line, nothing's official.
Exactly.
And so the coaches can withdraw a scholarship offer at any time.
Right
up to that point, and my understanding is that may have been the case in one or two of those people, for whatever reason, and they said, "We'll let you go ahead and put out a tweet and decommit, and you know, with our blessing, go ahead and do it."
Yeah, from behind the scenes, one of those was kind of those graceful, kind of like, "We'll let you resign instead of we firing you," kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know, again, you know, like you said, nothing's for real until they sign on the dotted line. So, and in this particular case, the guys who decommitted those particular positions were okay for right now. As long as we keep the offensive line recruits, you know, I think we'll be okay. Right. But as Shannon said, unfortunately, with the news that came out today, this can turn problematic if TCU doesn't handle it the right way, specifically Coach Patterson. And of course, we're talking about Kevontae Turpin, everybody's favorite wide receiver on this team. Many people have contacted, you basically will say he's the heart and soul of this particular team. But unfortunately, as of this morning, Monday morning, as reported, Kevontae Turpin was arrested by the Fort Worth PD on a charge of family violence. The allegation, and again, we don't have a whole lot of details on this, and we do have conflicting reports. Right. Both an eyewitness report and an allegation, and both of those, at least to the details that have come out, they don't quite line up, or we're missing one part or the other to see whether or not they are accurate. So take all of this, obviously, with a grain of salt, but he was arrested for family violence. Apparently his five-year-long girlfriend?
They were involved for 5 years.
Yeah, involved for 5 years. He apparently assaulted her or dragged her or pinned her down of some kind, but it doesn't look good on the surface. But again, we don't have a whole lot of details. But in the whole brouhaha, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram dropped yet another bomb and found that he had Cavante had an outstanding warrant in the state of New Mexico for failure to show on a similar misdemeanor charge, again stemming from the same girlfriend. And that one can be problematic because if the school knew about that and he was still playing, that could be a problem.
Well,
yeah,
I'm gonna say that's the curveball, if you will, based off what we heard today. Now I'm gonna go on a limb and say I don't think that Coach Patterson knew all the details about this other stuff. And if they did, it's not a biggest deal we may make it out to be, because I just don't see him gambling with something like this of the seriousness of it and going on with this and not correcting it or the appropriate punishment or whatever the case may be around the situation. So I'm gonna, I'd love to wait and see what comes of that. It could be a clear case of guys, him not we're close to the house. Again, being part of the locker room, I've seen some of the damnedest things, and there were some things that coaches never found out about. And there were some things that they found out about pretty quick, And so it doesn't look good for Turpin regardless, speculation, truth, and fact. At the moment, it just doesn't look good. It's not positive praise for us in any manner. The guy just had a hell of a game. He was the only heartbeat of Saturday, if you ask me. He's the one who gave us a spark besides the quarterback situation. And so to have this come out a couple days after, it's just disheartening. And it's not good for the university. It's not good for the football team. So
yeah, I always think of that scene in Godfather 3 where Al Pacino goes up to Fredo and says, "It was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. It was you, Cavante. You broke my heart." And that's one guy I loved watching the play. Every time he got the ball, you knew something was going to happen. And he delivered quite a bit. But for something like this, he just messed his whole future up. And it's sad. It's really sad.
And again, we don't have all the details yet. So
that's what I would say. I would say I want to hear, I don't want to jump any kind of speculations because you get these, you see it all the time. You get a 30-second snippet of something or a 15-second snippet. You don't see the whole minute.
Right.
You only see and that somebody, and then when you see the whole thing, you're like, okay. I mean, let me tell you, if it was family violence and he did it, he's got to do time for the crime.
Yeah, I'm absolutely.
First one jump on that. But at the same time, I just want to see it play out and see what happens and make sure and, blah, blah, blah. Because, it's like you said, you don't know if he's holding her down because she was trying to fight him, or he's holding her down or dragging her because he's mad. I don't know. I wasn't there. And so I'm sure the police are all over it, and I'm sure that eventually we'll know about it. But like you said, by putting yourself in that situation, guilty or not, you kind of messed yourself up for the rest of the year probably. I mean, Even if you're found innocent when it's all said and done, by putting yourself in that situation, that's what our coaches always used to tell us, and I know probably the same way. You know, don't put yourself in the situation, whether you're guilty or not, that you could be just incriminated for being there, even if you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know the situation and stuff like that, but that's probably the hardest thing for a young person to learn is you can't put yourself in that situation. Even if you're not guilty, just the public perception, you're going to be fried no matter what. And so
in this day and age,
I'm going to hold my judgment back. But at the same time, I just don't like you said, come back and say, hey, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he was just defending himself by holding her down and wasn't really doing it. He's still going to lose game time. He's going to lose this. He's going to lose that. It's already a screwed up deal. I mean, it's screwed up for TCU. It's screwed up for him. It's screwed up for everybody.
Well, he obviously had a chance early on to rectify this because this was the same individual that had the issue in New Mexico that he has a warrant out for. So there was already an incident in his past that caused him, that should have caused him to think, maybe this is not a relationship I want to be in. Now, of course, again, we have no details. You know, this apparently is a woman he's had relationships with. I don't know if it's a current relationship or not, if the thing in New Mexico cut it off. We have no idea about what any of this is going on. But what we do know is, on the surface, it looks bad. Obviously, with the thing in New Mexico, it looks like a pattern from a lot of people on the outside looking in. But again, without any details, it's a little hard to kind of speculate one way or the other.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I hope it's not a pattern in his life.
I don't want to make light of the situation, but something came up in my head today. I was like, where are this new generation. Where the hell are these guys getting these girls from? Because, see, I married my college sweetheart. And several athletes that I played, we've married our college sweethearts. We have beautiful families and all that. And I keep thinking, where are these guys getting these girls from? Like, this is some things you hear, at least on the NFL level or later on in life. We're talking college kids here. And this is not the first domestic violence deal. And I'm just like, where they get these women from? Or maybe it's them. I don't know. But we need to have a class on how to pick the appropriate girlfriend or something.
Yeah, Shannon, I'm a female, and I'll back you up on that. I'm amazed right now with our culture. I was reading through Killer Frogs, the whole, how many pages we're up to now, 18 pages on that thread. And I was amazed at the people saying that he punched her. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I haven't read anywhere where he punched her. And we don't have that description yet. We have a description that he manhandled her across a parking lot. Yeah. We have a description that they scuffled after he shoved her to the ground. Well, I mean, those are very vague descriptions. I mean, you can shove someone when you let go of them, you know, and people can be good actors and actresses as well. We see it a lot in soccer and in football, as a matter of fact. Now, I'm not saying she's faking it at all, but I'm just saying maybe there's two people, it takes two to tango sometimes because
there's two sides to the story and we haven't heard his side.
Yeah, and I just, I hate to condemn him. It'll ruin his life, you know, and I just, when you're young, that young,
yeah,
emotional, I don't know if there's alcohol involved, but it was late at night, so I just, oh, God, you know, let's just all step back, take a look at these two people, and just make sure that there was really, that before we convict him, that he's really a bad person. I mean, I just don't think he is. But I mean, I thought that about Boykin. I and he's clearly proven me wrong. But anyway, I don't know at this point.
what, like you said, whether it comes out or not, it's already ruined a certain part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, every game he misses, that just ruins it a little bit more. Whether he's guilty or innocent, if he's guilty, he already missed the rest of his games. I'll be the first one to come out and say that, you know, but the sad thing is,
if he's guilty, he should lose his scholarship.
That's right. I mean, and all that. But the thing is, by the time they figure out what's really right or wrong, the season will probably be pretty close to being over with. By the time all that comes out to play and the way it all does, you know, and stuff like that, I mean, it's ruined a certain portion of it already. I mean, period.
Well, like I said, Aaron, good point, Ryan. And, you just have to, when you're dealing with people's lives, you have to be fair and at least wait for the details to come out. The fact. You have to do that.
Shannon, we're fans. We don't have to wait for facts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm one that's going to do that. Only because, you know, I have four girls and I have a wife, and I'm not one for any man putting his hands on a girl or a woman. But what I am, but on the other side of that, you have somebody's career and their life. And we've seen it from some prior athletes that you know, once they left, it ruined their life. We hadn't heard of them again. And I've heard of some being in jail. I've heard all kinds of things because they just, it does something to you when you get your opportunity that you probably screwed up or yourself, but it's just life changing. And so before I put stamp on him as far as, you know, beating him up a little bit, which I won't mind doing if he was in the wrong, I don't mind doing it. Trust me, I'll give him a lashing, but I'm not going to do that until I know the facts. And again, you got two people's lives that are involved. So
I'd like to clarify something too. I mean, there's a huge difference, I think even legally, between shoving someone and punching them in the face. I mean, one's a felony and one's a misdemeanor. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right on that.
Well, you're talking about battery with bodily injury and then versus just standard assault.
Seriously, bodily injury is a felony and shoving someone and pushing someone is a, we have Joe, what is his name, Mixon from OU? Who
Well, okay, but there was also videotape of Mixon doing that. So, I mean, this is not a Mixon situation.
But there was video, but didn't he continue, if I remember correctly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He continued to play. And that was wrong. And this will be wrong if nobody, again, for those of you who are listening who are maybe like other fans of other schools, we're not trying to be apologists for what Turpin may or may not have done. All we're saying is, just tap the brakes for a second. There's both sides of this. You've only heard one side. Yes. Wait for the details. If it comes out that, yeah, he did it, every Frog fan is going to say the same thing. He's gone.
Sure. Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
Get rid of him now. I mean, we love him to death, but get rid of him. He's gone.
And for those of you who don't know Frog fans, we condemn these players pretty usually faster than any Boykin. If we all remember driving down to the Alamo, well, we all wanted him off the team. They had pulled every marketing thing with him down. They removed him from the video, and we were all very happy about that. And then I remember what the Paul Hall was on the sideline. Who was on the sideline of one of the games, and he got booed that they finally had to take him off the field. It was the one who transferred to a Louisiana school, really, really good player. You know what I'm talking about. Really great player, just made some bad decisions again.
Defensive guy, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Devontae Fields?
Yes, Fields. Like, he got booed off the field. You know, like, we fans are rough on our players.
Well, we are. And again, we talk about the Frog factor, right? You got to have the Frog factor. You got to be part of this Frog family. And, you know, going back to the Godfather analogy, thank you, Wes, you know, you dishonor the family, you know, you're out. I mean, that's just it. But again, these are, we have no idea what the situation is outside of what's been reported. And kind of like what Dubber was saying, you see these small little snippets, but you don't see the whole context. And from what has come out, I have more questions. For instance, the report said he quote unquote fled the scene, but then came back later. Did he come back specifically to get arrested? I mean, what was the point of coming back? So I mean, I'm curious about that decision. I mean, if he made a bad decision in New Mexico, made a bad decision that night, and then decided to make another bad decision by coming back, okay, he's really bad at making decisions. But yeah. I'm curious. We have some questions. So I'd like to hear more details before we're ready to grab the pitchforks and the torches.
I mean, you've heard that he punched her in the face and this and that. We pretty much think that's probably untrue. And that's the bad thing about it. There's no really reporting of the fact. Everybody just loves to throw crap out there now to see what sticks and what's going to happen. And that's the sad thing about it, because like you said, they're toying with somebody's lives. They're toying with two people's lives.
Yes.
The girl and Turpin's. I mean, nobody really knows it. And you know what? That's the beautiful thing about social media is we can all get on there and rant, rave. The bad thing about social media is there are people out there that do not care one bit about ruining somebody's life over this kind of stuff, whether they've heard it or not. Because let me tell you, in 6 weeks, if it came back and find out that Turpin is innocent, we would talk about it, but the boards would be dead. I mean,
and you've ruined his NFL career. I mean, you know,
it would be like,
no NFL team's going to want him at this point.
Yeah. And the second thing is, Ryan, let me give you, I'm going to give you a little secret. You know, you were trying to tell us the difference between all that stuff. You have somebody that might know all that.
That's where I get it.
You know, you said, well, yeah. I think that, well, I'm pretty sure if you ask the right person, all to.
Well, you know, you saw my text to y'all earlier. I was like, when's a class A? When's a class C? And Mike's like, Ryan, there's no such thing as a class B. And I was like, I swear you said that. I'm not always real good about paraphrasing.
Well, you're not good with your ABCs.
Yeah.
No, guys, or you're asking on this panel, we're not the right ones to ask.
No, yeah.
Ask Mike or don't ask us.
I know, right? Yeah. I just like to, this day and age, like to give myself an out. I may be wrong before somebody.
Well, if me and Shannon, first of all, me and Shannon being ex athlete, if we turn around and go, well, yeah, that's the felony, I don't need that already.
Well, Delbert, just to follow what you're saying, you know, this is the part where, you know, being a locker room guy and guys, social media is just a killer. You know, it's just one of those deals. It's just a little bit more crazy. But from our 1-10 season all the way up until, you know, our senior year, and I'm not going to drop any names, guys. I'll use myself. You know, there was especially the 1-10 year, you know, I got myself in the ringer being at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I knew I was. And I had, you know, the cops got involved, stuff like that. I had Frog fans, and I had people, I should say fans, students there to vouch that Shannon was not the problem at all. But there was a situation there where they were trying to, you know, I was suspended from football for a while, you know, until the new coaches got in there. And so my thing is, I knew I was right. I knew I didn't do anything wrong, but I didn't snitch on the person that did it somewhat wrong. But again, my thing is, when the smoke cleared, Shannon was cleared, everything was okay. I said that was fresh on it, and I don't get involved with that type of crap. And I knew at that point, Shannon needed to keep his nose clean from there on out. And I told him I would. So from there on, you know, obviously you have to be smart when you get your quote unquote second chance, if you will. Guys, there's been some superstars, and there's been some guys in it. And I'm not saying names, but they've been in some trouble as well. There's been, you know, and it's just social media takes to a whole nother level. But these guys got second chances. You know, you're in college, you're young. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be alcohol involved. There's going to be some things that, you know, you're just going to screw up. Not saying everybody's going to screw up, but it happens. And so that's that. And for me to have seen it, to have lived it, I don't bash so quickly because I'm a 3-year starter and made some. I think I'm, you know, playing on a defense that was number one in the country. I think I contributed to that, but I could have been out and that could have been somebody else in there. So I don't take it lightly. I take it. Seeing guys a lot destroyed, made a wrong decision. And sometimes they were just at the wrong place at the wrong time and still got booted because they involved in that manner. And hey, it is what it is. But I've seen it was a revolving door there for a second. And I was right there, part of that locker room. So I understand it. I get it. But on the other side, now being an adult, being a fan, they just got to make more. They're more spoiled. They have more. So I would say we didn't have all that. You got to just be more careful. You just got to.
Well, they have more. But you mentioned social media. The other problem is that they don't realize that this kind of information, something comes out like that, you're done nationally. This isn't just some little blotter in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and will blow over in about 3 or 4 weeks or a couple of months from now. It's out there. It's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. It's on Snapchat. It's on Instagram. It's on YouTube. And everyone's talking about it on Sirius XM. And
if it was there, we had all that back then, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have made it. It'd have been over. I mean, every day, yeah. it'd been done.
Yeah, you got to be smarter about that. Out of school. Definitely. Yep. And to kind of wrap this up a little bit, going back to what Dubber was saying, you got two different lives that are affected by this, right? So you kind of have to wait and find out the details because obviously we know what's going to happen to Turpin one way or the other. But the young lady who's caught up in all this, if it is in fact that she's a victim of basically family or domestic violence, this is obviously, if we take that back and that is a pattern going all the way back to New Mexico, she's obviously been in a very unhealthy relationship for a very long time. Yeah. And she needs just as much help as anybody else. So, you know, you don't want to jump to any conclusions one way or the other. But once the details do come out, you've got two people that are going to need a lot of help and a lot of prayer. And just, you know, it's not a good situation, obviously, either way, one way or the other. Either somebody's not telling the truth or somebody has committed a serious crime. And you just have to wait for the details to come out before you decide, you know, grab that pitchfork, grab that torch, and we'll find out what happens afterwards, right?
So I have a question too. You know, now knowing what we know, especially the whole New Mexico thing that happened in March, and then I guess the warrant came out in this summer.
By the way, there's not a lot of details on that one either.
Exactly. But you know, clearly, I mean, so now what is TCU looking back? I mean, I don't think they knew about it. I don't think there's a cover up or anything else. I think maybe if they did know about it, they took care of it internally and they just didn't broadcast it in the newspaper. I don't know.
Well, I tell you, if they did not know about it, they need to come out tomorrow and say so. Like, yeah,
TCU's good. TCU's good about getting out front on these things and letting it be known and trying to be as transparent as possible. So I have to think they just didn't know anything about it.
Because they were completely embarrassed tonight. We were shocked to hear that the Star Telegram, somebody leaked it, the Star Telegram, clearly from the police department.
They're probably from Texas or Oklahoma.
So in the future, I mean, after spring breaks, after summer holiday, I mean, they've got to have somebody sitting in that office running public reports, making sure their players haven't done anything. I mean, you would think they would kind of already do that, but
yeah.
Yeah. I know there are a lot of fans that are thinking, you know, how in the world could they not have known? Well, okay. First of all, this was back in March in another state, and the warrant probably was not sworn out on him until much later.
It wasn't like till July.
Right. Till July. So, I mean, think about it from this perspective. If you get pulled over by a traffic cop and you get, a citation and you fail to appear at traffic court, does the court call your employer and say, hey, by the way, did you know your employee has a warrant out for their arrest? No, they don't do that. So I seriously doubt the New Mexico police or the Department of Public Safety or whatever they call themselves in New Mexico. I seriously doubt they're picking up the phone, calling Coach Patterson going, hey, by the way, did you know one of your players was in New Mexico and did X and X on certain date? I seriously doubt that's what happened. So unless Turpin actually mentioned that to somebody or told that to somebody, I seriously doubt they knew it. But I kind of agree, though, with you, Ryan. If we don't have anybody at TCU who's running records and background checks and making sure that these guys aren't doing the things that they're doing, especially when they're off campus, maybe that's something we ought to start doing.
And I will say, too, you know, something else, and this Mike made this told me, Mike, for y'all that don't know, he's a police officer in Arlington, so for a long time. But he said, you know, that it obviously TCU, he doesn't think TCU knew anything about it either. It literally came out when he was arrested again, and they started running the reports. And so all of a sudden it got flagged. Oh, there's a warrant for him in New Mexico. It doesn't make sense that it was hidden or anything like that, because it's just too much of a black eye, honestly.
Well, and there's a possibility Cavante didn't even know he had a warrant out for his arrest.
Think about it like
very, very likely. Very likely.
Well, if he didn't appear in court, then he knew one was going to be issued,
But did he?
I will tell you this. I know somebody that's in the younger age group that he was in college. He got a warrant out for a traffic ticket that he didn't realize that he had a warrant out until it got sent to his dad. And his dad called him and said, are you an idiot? And he goes, well, I tried to blah, blah, blah. And then, well, you didn't check on anymore. Oh, did I just say, I said, okay, that person said, check on it. And he's like, well, I tried and I didn't know it. I'm like, well, you're an idiot. You know, they got taken care of before anything happened. But still, I mean, you know, no clue.
It happened to me too.
In the world,
I had the same thing happen to me.
You've got a rap sheet.
I do. Y'all want to hear the stories? The whole world want to hear this story.
Oh, listen, I mean, don't be afraid of.
I'm all ears, Ryan.
It's funny. I won't go into the whole story, but I did. I had a I got pulled over just at a traffic stop, and I didn't have my license on me. And it was like one where they pull over everybody.
Where's she been back?
I did try to go pay it a couple times with City of Dallas, and every time it was just a fiasco. And so I finally just got fed up. Well, then I was going through a divorce. And so at the time, my lawyer was like, we need to get through some other things first Dallas doesn't put out, it takes them, you know, 6 to 9 months to put out a warrant. So I literally had the ticket sitting on my passenger side seat, like there. I was taking it down to the courthouse when I was working in Coppell at the time, and I stopped at a stop sign, and they just, I didn't do anything wrong. They just run your tags, and they ran my tag and of course pulled me over, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to jail.
To get the ticket out and go, no, seriously, officer, I was on my way to pay it.
You know, the best thing about it is it really, they did see it, but I said, are y'all taking me to jail? And he said, yes, ma'am, we are. And I was like, okay, you know.
Oh, so you got an orange jumpsuit? Cool.
No, it was paper because they asked me if I was suicidal. And I was like, well.
Paper jumpsuit?
I might be. I'm going through a divorce and now I'm being taken to jail. Yes, there's a good chance that I am suicidal right now.
They take your shoelaces or were you wearing boots?
I was wearing tennis shoes. Yeah, I just had socks on. I kind of remember. But the best thing about it was they were so nice, even though they totally frisked me and handcuffed me, the whole deal, is they said, do you need to grab your purse or anything out of your car? They didn't tow my car or anything. They just left it in the neighborhood. But I said, yes, actually, my little handbag is on the floorboard of my car. It's brown, and ironically, it has a pink heart on it that says life is good. And I just started bawling. So for all those people out there that don't think they take girls to jail, they do. They do. And I didn't even do anything that bad.
And if anybody wants to see that, that's on Cops Season 14, Episode 23.
I know. I'm trying to remember how long. That was long. It was over 10 years ago. But, man, that was an awesome story now. It wasn't at the time.
I'm going to start a thread called Ryan's Rap Sheet and put it on.
I know, right?
I'm so glad that came out tonight.
Situation for just a second. I've been thinking how serious is this really, right? So here's the deal. Think about it this way. How many Turpins do we know? I only know him. You know, I only know the one, right?
Are you talking about from an athletic point of view or from a bad decision point of view?
From an athletic point of view, seeing somebody on TV that's on TV week to week that has a warrant out for his arrest.
No kidding. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, just knowing cops, friends with cops, they have a division that literally looks for people who has warrants. They do everything to try to find you, from social media to TV to whatever. They use everything they can to possibly find you. They usually do a pretty good job. So Turpin's not just a regular athlete. He's a star athlete at TCU who's on TV. Our games are televised every week.
In other words, he's easy to find.
He's easy to find. So if this was such a big deal in where it was, be it no more than probably just a ticket, which I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
It's a failure to appear is what it is.
So to blow this thing up more than it is, you know, I still have to say that's what probably TC was thinking about. If they know about it, that's what they know about. It's no more than a ticket to them. And if he failed to appear, that don't mean that they're bad people. That means that he didn't show up and they didn't know he probably had to show up. Because I'm sure if they knew he had to show up, they would have made sure he showed up. You know, listen, again, I'm just sitting there thinking that's probably something small that we don't need to blow out of control, and it is what it is. But the most important thing is what he went to jail for here on Sunday, and that's what we really need to worry about and wait till the facts come out.
I'm going to disagree with you ever so slightly, because if the reason why he got that citation was because he was being aggressive and throwing things, as the small details that we have are out that explain the altercation in New Mexico, again, with the same woman. If people can use this to point to, well, he has a pattern of aggression, right? That's going to play into obviously what happened. So it's not necessarily, I mean, I agree with you. It is a failure to appear, which again, you can get that by, you know, being Ryan and running through a stop sign, getting a ticket and not going to pay it.
I didn't run through the stop sign. I stopped at the stop sign. Don't make it worse than it is.
Speeding, whatever. I mean,
I'm already regretting telling this story.
Dealing crack. I don't know what Ryan's hardened criminal rap sheet says, but whatever she was doing.
They never convicted me.
Drug running from Columbia. Whatever it was, Ryan, it's fine. We forgive you. We still love you.
In fact, but the judge felt bad for me. I should finish the full story, but go ahead.
Anyway, my point is that obviously whatever happened in New Mexico is going to have some sort of play into this, if not for other fans, but definitely the press. And we've seen this, right? They're trying to build a narrative about, oh, well, we have this detail about this one player. And I guarantee it's going to happen. You're going to see, especially these Star Telegram writers, which we could talk about the really bad reporting from the Star Telegram for the last several years, but this particular group doesn't seem to really have it together. And I guarantee you're going to start to see these stories pop up. It's like, does Kevontae Turpin have a, you know, some sort of an aggression problem? Is this a pattern that we actually see? I guarantee you're going to start to see this, Frog fans, and prepare yourself for it. But again, temper it, because we don't have all the details yet. We don't exactly know what happened in New Mexico. We don't exactly know what happened in this particular case. If he did that in both cases, sure, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. But anybody who tells you they know exactly what happened in either one of those instances and wants to try the connection between the two, they're lying. It's just bullshit. They don't know what they're talking about. So
throw the BS flag at them.
Yeah. So again, just kind of wait, tap on the brakes. We'll see what happens. But again, like we said, you know, you dishonor the family, you're out of here.
You're out.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, Ryan.
Yes. I did not run.
How many people have you killed?
What? It was you, Ryan. You broke my heart.
I can tell you something else that's really even better. What makes that story even better is that two things about that story is in Coppell, they bring you the number one from McDonald's for supper.
Oh my God. Yep.
I know.
What is the number one at McDonald's? Is that a Big Mac?
Cheeseburger, French fries, and a Coke.
Okay.
And I did not eat it. And I love McDonald's. And so I cannot even look at the Golden Arches for several years, but I'm over it now. I would definitely eat a Happy Meal.
McDonald's triggered you from that point on?
Yeah. So the number two thing was that it was like $1,000 or something to get out. I can't even remember, honestly. This is a good round number. And of course, nobody was on my bank account but me at the time. So I couldn't get myself out of jail. And so the cop that was there called Wells Fargo at the branch and said, you need to take this money out of her account. He said, well, I can't do that. It's not, I can't do that. And the policeman was like, no, you don't understand.
And the banker was like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah. He's like, in several hours, we'll be taking the few people that are in our Mayberry little jail area down to Dallas County, and she cannot go to Dallas County. She will not survive. And so,
don't you understand? Ex cheerleaders in prison. This is a problem.
I didn't.
Don't wild.
I didn't pay for a ticket when I didn't have my license.
This is like a setup to a movie.
It is ridiculous. No, I was put in a private room. Okay, that's a whole nother story. But yes, yeah, so they did bring the money down. Like the branch manager brought the money down, the cash, and gave them to the policeman. He even brought the phone in and was like, you give him permission. You talk to him and give him permission to get the money out of your account. And then, but I was
Did he ask you for two forms of ID?
No. But I will say too, that moment in there, I was like, I have just reached an all-time low. And then I just sat there and I started to pray, like really, really pray. And I did. I felt God's angels' wings just wrap around me. And I was only there for maybe, I don't even know if I was even there a total of 2 hours. It was very quick and very out, quick in and out. But I just felt them surround me, and I felt the most at peace and calmness came over me that I had felt throughout that whole dark period in my life. And so I, at the time I coached gymnasts, high level competitive gymnasts. So I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to go face their parents? So the next day when I went back,
was this before social media? Because if it was before social media, they weren't known.
It was before Twitter. We still had Facebook, and it wasn't nearly what it is today. Thank God.
You didn't share your mugshot on Facebook.
No, I don't even know if I've seen it. Nobody send it to me. Don't you dare send me my own mugshot. But anyway, But anyway,
you know, I think that'd be a beautiful wedding announcement. Your mugshot and a
with my policeman. Yes, exactly. But you know what's funny is all the moms. I was so embarrassed. All the moms were like, "Ryan, it's okay." What I wouldn't do versus solid. In a jail cell, and I was like, good point, because they were so sick of just their life at the time too. So anyway, it all ended up well. The judge gave me back. I didn't even have to pay for court fees. I didn't lose almost. It's like I made money on the deal almost, but so it all ended up good. It makes for a hell of a story. So yay me.
Ryan's rap sheet. It's going up later.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
You go to killerfrogs.com, click on forums, and read all about it. We'll pin it to the top of the forum. Why not?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Wes, make sure you look for that mugshot later tonight.
Don't you dare put that in the picture of this podcast. I will fire all y'all.
That was Pop Hill. Is that right?
Well, technically, Wes doesn't work anymore for Killer Frogs. So, Wes. Wes can text me later.
I'm going to regret this, aren't I?
I'm loving it. This is great. sorry, Ryan. I know that was a McDonald's slogan. I didn't want to trigger you. I apologize.
I know. I might start having a little trauma. Yeah, flashbacks from my big days in the slammer.
Well, given the week we've all been through already as TCU fans between the loss to Oklahoma and, of course, the news today, I'm glad we all got a good laugh tonight. And I hope you guys did, too, joining us tonight. With that, we've come to the end of our podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Of course, Killer Frogs is also on all the social media networks, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Pretty much find us anywhere online. Of course, go to killerfrogs.com. You can sign up for a free account, discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And, of course, remember frogswire.com for all of your TCU news. And with that, we come to the end of the podcast. It's the time we all get to knuckle up and say...
Go frogs.
Go frogs.
Put them on, officer. No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Shut up. Oh, man. Somebody's gonna
hate it. You're going to get so many pairs of handcuffs for your wedding shower.
All right. Do you cuff this woman to be your own? Oh, I'm sorry.
Those aren't the rings she's looking for.
Hear about, you know, a good guy, you know, he's a police officer, and all of a sudden he went to the dark side, got him.
I know, right?
The jail bird and everything.
This sounds like Raising Arizona all over again.
Hey, that's how he found her. He was combing the nails, said, "Hey, look at that girl. She's been arrested."
Yeah, I thought that's how the story was going to end. Is like, as I was coming out of jail.
Yeah,
there was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I should tell people that's how we met.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Good.
He booked
me.
He pulled me over. He ran my plates while I was at a stop sign.
He frisked me. Yeah. We fell in love when he was frisking me.
I don't know. In today's society, you may not want to go with that round. I just saying, I know, right? I mean, you know.